Hey, Fred, Keith here. Before we start the episode, I just wanted to jump in really quickly to share with you about a little book that I've just put out recently. It's called Breakup: How to Heal and Thrive After a Relationship Ends. You know, I had a marriage of about 24, 25 years end in divorce, and it crushed me. I mean, it really got me down. But after I'd licked my wounds for a while, I decided I need to put together a strategic plan to pivot from this loss into my next chapter. So I put together this little plan that I call Thrive. So if you're going through a breakup right now, or maybe you've just gone through one recently and you could use a little help, I encourage you to look for the link in the show notes and check out Breakup: How to Heal and Thrive After a Relationship Ends. All right, now on with the show. Hello there, and welcome to the Bye Guy Podcast. I'm your host, J. Keith Brown, and this podcast exists to bring help and encouragement to my fellow bisexuals, as well as all others within the LGBTQ plus community. Subjects that we'll cover in this podcast will include sexual identity trauma, shame, family dynamics, relationships, coming out issues, bisexuality, dating, mindset, faith development within the Christian faith, and a whole bunch more. Two disclaimers first, please. I am not a licensed therapist or a medical professional. If you need either of those services, please do consult a licensed professional. Also, the views expressed in this podcast are either those of myself or my guest, and they should be considered as such. All right, grab that favorite beverage of choice, have a seat here at my table, and let's chat on this episode of the Bye Guy Podcast. Well, hello, my friend, and welcome to the Bye Guy Podcast. I'm your host, Keith Brown, and I am very, very thankful for you tuning in to this Table Talks Wednesday episode of the podcast. Before we get into the topic today, let me just quickly remind you that I do have available for you, if you're in the closet especially, hear me on this. You know, I know that many people make these grand outings and all these kinds of things, and that's perfectly okay. But I know that a lot of you who connect with me, a lot of you that reach out to me, a lot of you that listen to this podcast, a lot of you that connect with me on social media and watch my videos and all types of things, I know that a lot of you, especially those that are very deep in the closet and you have this urge or this desire to come out, you want to do it very carefully. You want to do it slowly. You want to do it what I call selectively. So I just want to keep reminding you, although it is no longer in sale right now, the Selective Outage Method digital course is still available to you. So this is my digital course to help you, my framework of coming out of the closet in as safe and empowered procedure as I possibly can suggest to you. So think about it. There's a link in the show notes. You can get to my website. Just look under my digital courses and it'll be there. It's called Selective Outage Method. And I just want to mention it periodically because I know that it can be helpful to you if you're still in the closet. All right. So let's get to the podcast episode today and the subject at hand. Now, this particular title for this podcast, and I hope you turned into it, even if you are not bisexual or part of a bisexual couple. Now, granted, I'm speaking specifically to bisexual couples in this podcast, but hear me and hear me very clearly. What I'm going to tell you today is really applicable to any type of relationship, especially a romantic partnership, whether it be a marriage or whether it be any type of relationship. So let's talk about it a little bit today, if we can. Now, I want to set this up because I talk to so many people who are bisexual, and many of those people are in bisexual relationships. And I am very familiar with this, obviously, because that's what I have been in for my entire adult life. So I understand it pretty well. I also know that when a person is in a bisexual relationship, and truly in any relationship, they can have insecurities, they can have questions, they can have concerns. But I know this all too well when we talk to those within a bisexual relationship, especially if the partner of a bisexual is straight, because they don't really understand the mentality or the attractions or the makeup of a bisexual person. So therefore, they can't truly get into your brain if you happen to be the bisexual one in the relationship. But if you're not, if you're the straight one, then I want you to hear my voice when I say you're okay and you're not weird and you're not anything bad if you have these types of thoughts or opinions or ideas or insecurities. It's a very normal thing.
And I promise you this, because I have been working with couples of all types and with bisexual couples for many, many years. And I have heard this time and time again. So, and truthfully, I've experienced in my own relationship, truthfully, because these insecurities can pop up. All right. So let's talk about this a little bit. Okay. So the first thing that I want to tell you, if you are especially the bisexual in a relationship, it is not unusual, it is not uncommon for your partner to have insecurities. They may have worries about you. And I can tell you that a lot of times those insecurities are driven from a fact that they know inside of them, whether they can even voice this truly, they know that they don't have all the, let's just be as subtle as I can here. Let's just say that they know they don't have all the body parts, for instance, or they don't have all the looks that you are attracted to. They have part of that. They have a good deal of that, perhaps, but they don't have all. And inside of them, they know that. And because of that, there can be some insecurities. They can feel less than. Now, if you are that particular partner, again, hear me in saying this. You're not unusual if you feel this way. You're not weird if you feel this way. There are many straight partners, for instance, of bisexuals who feel exactly like this, I can assure you. So let's get all that out there. Nobody's the bad guy here, okay? We need to put that out there. Everybody's okay. It's a natural thing to do. Don't beat yourself up. All right, so let's talk about this a little bit. And I want to speak specifically right now to the bisexual. If you are bisexual in this relationship, I want you to hear me when we talk about this, okay? And there's five things that I want to suggest to you that you keep in mind as you are dealing lovingly with your partner. Okay, the number one thing is you have to make sure you're listening. Now, that should go without saying, but I think I have to say it because we live in a society today, to be honest, when we as a people are horrible listeners. I mean, if you go to a restaurant these days and you look at a family or even a couple sitting at a table, what are they most often doing? They are looking at their cell phone. It beats anything I've ever seen. You can go into any place these days and people are on their cell phones when somebody, a live person, is sitting right across the table from them and they're not communicating. And so we as a people have often lost the skill of truly listening. Many times, even if we aren't on our phones and we are communicating, so to speak, with someone, we are often thinking already ahead of the next thing that we want to say or the next thing that we think we need to say in the conversation. And listening is a skill. And it is a skill that I am suggesting that many of us are bad at. There, I said it. I really believe it. I think that many of us, if not most of us these days, have lost the skill of listening. If you ever are in the corporate world, many times they will have actually classes for upper management on listening. They will talk to you about how to become an active listener, how to parrot, how to move, how to do this, how to do that, to show that you are listening to your people. Well, we don't have to get that formal in this at all. But what I would suggest is that we at least do a little bit of, quote, parroting, and I'm not talking about parent as in child parent. I'm talking about like the bird, parroting back what our partner says to show them that we're listening. Now, please don't do this in a formula way. Don't say this. What I hear you saying is they will not like that. It just shows to them that you're just being rote. You're being very mechanical, robotic in your response. That's not what you need to do. Basically, you truly need to do a couple of things. First of all, when this conversation is taking place, you better put your cell phone away. Put it away, right? Do that, number one. Number two, look into their eyes. There is something about eye contact that lets that person know that you are truly hearing what they have to say. And that is critical because that is the connection that is going to let them know that you are attuned to what they are trying to communicate with you. And then you can do something like, you know, honey, I hear what you're saying. And you know, I hear that you are concerned about this. So you can do that very subtly, very lovingly, but you can do it in a way that lets them know that, yes, I heard what you said. It went into my brain and I get it. Okay. So that is important. So please, please do become an active listener to your partner. So if you're a bisexual and you're in a relationship with someone and they come to you and say, you know what, I need to talk to you about this. This is eating me up. This is something I'm worried about. Then become an active listener. Take it seriously. Number two, don't judge, but do validate their feelings, opinions, or concerns. You may not agree with them completely. You may not even really understand why they would be worried about this, because in your mind, you're going like, it's not even a problem, or, you know, I'm tempted in this way, or this is not even something I think about. Well, you may not, but they do. And therefore, they have a right to feel how they feel. They have a right to think what they think. They have a right to the concerns that they have. And the last thing they need is for you to invalidate those, to judge those, or to make them feel less than because they have them. That is not healthy for the relationship. Now, yes, you're going to try to disarm those feelings, those insecurities, but you shouldn't judge them. You should give them the freedom to feel how they feel. Because after all, don't you want the same thing? Don't you want them to allow you to feel and think the way you do? Don't you want them to validate your identity and what makes you you and the things that you feel inside of you that are valid? So that is an important thing. So again, number one, listen carefully. Number two, don't judge, do validate. Number three, answer their questions, concerns, honestly, and here's a biggie, calmly. I know it's very easy when someone comes to us with their concerns or even their accusations at times, not purposely accusing you, but sometimes subtly accusing you because of their insecurities. It's very easy for us in our innocence most often to go, whoa, oh, hold on here. That's not right. What you're thinking, you can't blame me for that. I haven't done anything, or I'm not thinking that, or that's not part of who I am. Or we can become very defensive ourselves and we become angry. And if that's the case, then what we need to do is call a timeout. We need to say, hey, look, I want to talk to you about this, but right now I just need a few minutes. I need a few minutes to just get my head around this, to calm down so that we can talk about it the right way. Now, hopefully they will appreciate that. If they don't, then you may have to insist on it. Or you may have to just go through. But in my opinion, the more calmly that you can respond, certainly the better. But the key to this is to be honest with them, to share with them really what's going on inside of your head and in your body and all these kinds of things. To try to hide these feelings you have, these attractions you have perhaps, and sometimes even temptations in life, to try to hide those, I think is a mistake. Because in my opinion, most people, when they are in an intimate relationship with someone, they have a way of suddenly, intuitively picking up on those things. And inside of them, they may think, they're not being honest with me. And what does that do? It really hurts the relationship, right? Nobody wants to be lied to. Nobody wants to be dismissed. Nobody wants to be, you know, treated as if they are foolish. The best avenue, in my opinion, is to be honest, even when it is a painful honesty. Because truthfully, your partner, that straight partner most often who is coming with these insecurities, they need to know all the facts. They need to know who you are. They need to know you unconditionally. And they need to know how you think, act, and feel. Just like you want to know the same about them. So honesty is key here. And honesty will either build or break a relationship. And if it breaks it, then perhaps the relationship was not worth being a relationship at all. And I know that's harsh, especially when we have feelings involved. But to me, good, strong, long-term relationship is built and sustained with partner honesty. So that's my number three suggestion. Number four, I think you always have to assure them of your love, your commitment, your attraction for them. Because, like I said, there are times when a person will feel insecure. They need to know. And sometimes you may need to go a little overboard and letting them know how much you do love them. After all, I mean, how can we really go overboard in that, right? How can we go overboard in telling somebody we love them or that we think they're hot or we think that they're just amazing? Everybody likes to hear that. And in a relationship, I think when you do that honestly and carefully, then they're going to appreciate that so much more, don't you? Gosh, if you're watching me on YouTube, I am fiddling with these little things I have on my glasses. They bother me at times. I have a habit. This has nothing to do with what I'm talking about here. I'm going on a little tangent, but when I see myself in the video, I can't help it. I have this little like ring thing attached to my glasses. It looks stupid. I kind of look like a librarian. I lose so many reading glasses. I don't use glasses to see or drive. I mean, in a normal life day, but I have to have them to see up close. And so I am using them now. And I have this string attached because I tend to lose my glasses so often. And I don't know why, but I do. So I have them attached around my neck. So I'm fidgeting with them. So I apologize for that. And I apologize for the tangent. So with that said, maybe I better go back and just remind you so far of the four things I've said and then the fifth one. Number one is listen carefully. Number two, don't judge. Number three, answer their questions as honestly as you possibly can. Number four, assure them as often as you can of your love, your commitment, and your attraction. And number five, and I don't want to miss this because I think it's important, allow them to know that you are willing to revisit this conversation as often as necessary. And to me, that's a critical part of this program, this idea, this list. Because if they know that you are willing for them to come back and share this with you, if they feel this way again, or if they still feel this way, or they've yet not owned what you told them honestly, and they know that they can come back with you with this concern and not be judged or ridiculed or, thus that, and they know that, and you offer that. I think there is something very healing, very loving, and very supportive in that. Okay. So don't forget number five, invite them to come back to this conversation at any time. I could tell you in my life that this has happened to me. I mean, there have been times when I am heteroromantic and I've been in relationships with women. My first marriage was 25 years. I'm in a happy marriage now, very happy. We are about to celebrate 5 years of marriage. There were no secrets as we entered into this relationship. We know who each other was, and we had talked about this. In fact, I had communicated my sexual identity before we even went out officially on our first in-person date, even though we had known each other as friends before that. So I'm going to tell you that even in my relationships, and I've been doing this and living this a long time, these things can still come up, and they have come up in my life. And so that's why I know that dealing with them lovingly and carefully and purposefully is going to get you light years ahead in your relationship. Okay, so I hope that helps. And remember, these things, although again, specifically spoken in this podcast episode toward the bisexual couple, they are really good things for any relationship. I could see this in any type of relationship being helpful for us to remember in the back of our minds. Okay, and I know it's not rocket science here. I know this is not stuff that you go like, well, yeah, that's pretty obvious. But here's the thing. What is obvious and what we do sometimes are not always the same. And sometimes we just have to be reminded. And I hope that this has been a friendly, encouraging reminder to you today. All right. And also, let me just quickly mention that if you are part of a bisexual couple and you really want to to work on your relationship, and you could use some outside help, please know that I do, this is one of my specialties in my coaching. I do bisexual coaching for couples, and I'd love to offer that to you if you could use some help. You can check it out at thejkeithbrown.com. Just go to my website, look under coaching, and it'll be one of the options there for you. Okay. All right. Well, I guess that's it for this podcast episode. Until next time, my friend, don't forget to heal your hurts, move your mountains, and may God bless you. Bye-bye.
Well, there you go, my friend. Another episode of the Bi Guy Podcast. I don't know about you, but that went way too fast for me. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please do make sure that you are subscribed or following. And if you can, on whatever platform you're using to listen to this podcast, please do give it an honest 5-star rating. I really do appreciate that. That helps us grow this podcast, and I need folks like you to help me do that. Also, if you can really think about becoming a Patreon member of this podcast for only $5 a month, that money will go to help put this podcast out to the world. I really would appreciate it. And of course, you can cancel at any time. There's a link in the show notes. Until next time, don't forget, heal your hurts, move your mountains, and may God bless you.